We're going to pray for Jeff before he speaks this morning. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the sun. We thank you for your servant, Jeff, standing before you. Lord, we pray for the words that he's about to speak, Lord. This morning, somebody needs to hear about the love of God. This morning, somebody is sitting here and needs to know how deep that love is for them. Lord, I ask that your spirit would flow through Jeff, through his words, and that it will impact our hearts this morning, that we will know how wide, how deep, and how great your love is for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Annette. I got asked this morning how old I am. It's all right, man. If you want to know, I am Jackie Robinson's number. If you don't know what that, if you've ever read watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I am now the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. Or I'm 2 score and 2. That's all I'm giving you. I'm really happy to be here this morning talking to you about the role of the Holy Spirit in regards to God's love for us. We're on this series on the Holy Spirit leading right up to Pentecost Sunday on May 20th. And we have looked at, over the last 2 weeks, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about waiting and the Holy Spirit's presence in our waiting. And this morning we're going to talk about the assurance of God's love through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, Ephesians chapter 3. And while you're finding that, it's page 1134 in your pew Bible. 14 to 21 we're going to be looking at. A little over a week ago, I was talking with a former photographer who used to do wedding pictures. And we're reminiscing about weddings, and he was saying, you know, the novices don't get what we call the money shots. They don't get the money shot. And but there is a money shot that oftentimes people overlook. So in our culture here in America, when we do weddings, oftentimes the groom and the groomsmen will stand on this side and the bridesmaids on this side, and we wait for the bride to come, and those doors open. And the bride comes around the corner, and everybody sitting stands, and they turn and do what? They look at the bride. But the money shot is on the groom. The money shot's on the groom. Because as soon as those doors open, this look on the guy's face, Zach's nodding, I did their wedding. It is very hard to describe what love is. Words oftentimes fail. But if you look at a guy when he sees his bride on that morning, there is a change in the eyes that reaches to the depth of the soul. There's a transformation that takes over. And it could have various exterior features. Some of it is, I'm going to barf. Why did this woman want to marry me? I am so unworthy. Some of it is just complete overwhelming, but you can see looking at the groom that his love for his bride is overwhelming. This morning, we're going to be talking about the love of God and how the Holy Spirit is involved in helping us understand and comprehending the love of God. Words oftentimes will fail us. And that's one of the reasons why God has given us the Holy Spirit to understand the height, the length, the depth, and the breadth of the love of God. So Ephesians chapter 3, as I left my Bible down here, it's all good. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, we read, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That is not the only time we're going to read this passage this morning. When we've preached this passage before. We've preached it numerous times. But looking at it in the context of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand just a few things about the background of this. First, just a reminder, if you were here in the fall or if you're reading this for the first time, Paul is the writer at this point, and he's in a prison in Rome, and this is to the church in Ephesus. He is writing with a purpose. His purpose is to share Christ with everyone who is willing to listen. He's on mission. And so he goes to the Father on our behalf. These three things I want to focus on this morning: the strength with strengthening you with power, the power to grasp God's love, and the power that is at work. Power is very important listed here in this passage of Scripture, and I don't want us to miss out on this importance. So I want to look at the first couple of verses as we look at this passage. First is Paul is going before the Father for us. He's going to Father God because God has what we need. Father God has what we need. His prayer is out of his abundance, his glory, his splendor, his goodness. Out of all that, he wants us to understand something that's very important. There's this concept of making you stronger, increasing your strength in regards to love. This power listed here, that's listed three times in the passage, comes from a Greek word, dunamai. I love this word, dunamai. It's the word that we get eventually translated in English as dynamite. It's inherent power, residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. He wants us to comprehend that God's love is residing in us through Christ as a virtue of God's nature. And it's very important that the Holy Spirit gives us this power. It's not on our own. I can tell you all day long that the love of God is real and that he loves you. And some of you will hear it. You may even comprehend it cognitively. But it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to really receive that. Because circumstances and situations conflict our understanding. He wants us to know that Christ is dwelling with us, and Christ is love. And that love is rooted and thoroughly grounded in you. It's the concept of roots just growing and taking and just spreading out into every area of your life. And then in case you didn't quite grasp that, it's establishing a foundation in your soul, laying the groundwork for which we can comprehend his love. Let me describe it to you this way. I love fireworks. I don't know about you. I just love them. So much so that I talked to a buddy of mine here who lights off fireworks, and he took me to get trained so I could light off big fireworks. When you're standing there, you have to do all this work. Please understand, there is like 10 hours of work that goes into, maybe not that much, but close, that's what it feels like. 10 hours of work to go in for like 10 minutes of. And the first time that I did this on like a professional scale, because I've done it on a number of times, like not professionally and really not safe at all. Do not follow my lead, children. But they have these mortar shells. And look, anywhere from like 2 inches all the way up to 10 inches, right? These huge things. And they're, I mean, just holding that in your hand is scary. And you put that down in the tube, and if the debris's not out, if you don't get everything cleaned out, you're in trouble. Why? Because everything inside of that shell wants to go, bam, just wants to explode. And when it does, we see something like this. You know, you're sitting here and you just want to go watch some fireworks. I know it. Boom, 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 boom. That firework is doing nothing unless it's lit. This is the firework. Until it's lit and its purpose is served. You may be sitting here this morning and have Christ, and his love is there. But it's hard for us to imagine until the Holy Spirit comes in power and lights it. And Paul is saying, Christ has given you everything you need. He has given you the love that you are so desperately looking for. Now, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit comes along and ignites it so it blows your mind. It goes beyond your mind and affects your life. And he keeps going. This power, together, the concept here with everyone. I want everyone of you in the Church of Ephesus. I want everyone sitting here this morning at Living Christ Church to understand, to comprehend your relationship with God. To not only comprehend it, but to grasp, to make one's own, to obtain, to take on to oneself how wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love is. I love Mercy's description earlier. And the concept here is wide enough to reach every single area of your life, long enough to last forever, high enough that you're seated with Jesus in heaven, and deep enough to cover over all your sin, that which keeps us separated from God. This was modeled for us 2,000 years ago in the most reckless in human mind ways possible. I love that song. And I think it's hard sometimes to comprehend or to think about God's love being reckless. But he left the throne room of heaven to die on a cross for you and for me without any assurance, even though he's God, that you would accept his love. If that is not reckless, I don't know what is. And I loved my niece and a couple others who were standing up here, and they didn't even know what they're doing. And they're pointing to the top and the bottom and the side. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on the cross, and he said, I love you this much. As far as the east is from the west, as far as the core of this planet to the far reaches of the universe and beyond, I love you this much. I want you to know this love, to get it, to understand it, because it surpasses, it's thrown beyond, it transcends, it exceeds anything that we could possibly imagine. So that you will be full. So you'll be full. The concept here is not just full, but to abundance. A couple times in my life, I've taken this to the extreme. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Several years ago, a friend of mine and two others went on a road trip for what I consider the greatest wings in the history of the universe. They're at this little place in Rochester, New York called Pontillo's. And they are the meatiest, juiciest, yummiest things that you can possibly imagine. Some of you sitting here this morning are going, shut up, now I want hot wings. So good. And so the rule was, because guys are dumb, I can say that because I am one, the rule is you order more than you can eat, but everything has to be consumed. That's the rule when you go to Pontillo's. So there was five of us guys, and we ordered 2 large pies and 4 dozen hot wings. Yeah, and understand that, like, you know, hot wings, like, if you've ever been to Buffalo Wild Wings or other places around here, the hot wings are like this. I don't know where they grow these chickens, but the hot wings are like this, and they're chunky, and they're meaty, and they're like this big. If you're listening online, they're big. Like 7 minutes into this thing, 3 of the guys copped out, and they were done. They're like, oh, I'm full. There was a whole large pie left and 2 dozen wings left, and I had already eaten half of it. And I looked at my buddy Scott, and he looked at me, and he goes, loosen the belt, pulled up the sleeves, and we're like, all right, let's go. And over, yeah, stupid, we're dumb. And over the next half an hour, we consume the rest of that large pie and the rest of those 2 dozen wings. No, you don't clap for that. I have never been that full in my life. I mean, I felt like it was here. And this is disgusting. If I tipped over, I have never been that full in my life. We got all done, and we were close to the Canadian border, and everybody was like, hey, let's go to Canada. Let's walk the falls. I'm like, I just want to puke. You can know in your head that you're full, right? You can know it. But when you consume that amount of food, you know it. You know it here. You know it here. You know it here. You know it in every part of your body, because your body is like, what the heck is wrong with you? That was the dumbest thing you've ever done. The concept here in Scripture is God wants you to know that you are loved in every single area of your life. Every single area. Not just here, but here and here and here and here. My fullness was dumb. It was dumb. God's love is amazing. When he wants to fill you with his fullness and wants you to understand his fullness, he wants you to be overwhelmed by his presence and his power. He wants to consume your soul with the height and breadth and length and depth of his love, and then to go beyond it. He goes on in verses 20 and 21 that God is able to do immeasurably more, it says here, but in the original language it's beyond. He uses 2 different words to say beyond. I want you to understand God's love beyond. And the concept is beyond your borders. As far as you can see in your country, I want you to understand my love beyond that. So fix a mark. In your mind, fix that mark. God wants you to understand his love beyond even that. To all, to each, to every, to anyone who is willing to ask or imagine his love. And the concept here is, you go before the Father and you say, God, do you love me? And he says, yes. And you go before the Father and you say, God, do you love me? And he says, yes. And you go before the Father and you say, God, do you love me? And he says, yes. 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 But God, my circumstance, yes. But God, the world is terrible. Yes, I love you. God, I don't understand. I love you. God, look at my circumstance. I love you. Look at my situation. I love you. It does not change no matter what is going on in your life. I love you. Immeasurably more than all you can ask, imagine, think, anything, he loves you. Once again, according to his power, that is at work, already at work, wants to be at work, will be at work forever and ever. And so the only good response is praise him. Praise him now, praise him in the church, praise him forever. I want to end this service in a way that maybe we've never done before. When we have communion, when we take communion here, oftentimes we have the elders or somebody up here standing up front sharing the communion elements with you. This morning, this is what I would like to do. I'm going to have several people come and stand down in front, and we'll have people up there in the balcony for you as well. And I would like you to come. And when you come, we are going to read this scripture over you. When you come, I'd like you to cup your hands and envision yourself receiving this prayer over you. Not just in your mind, not just in your heart, not just in your soul, your whole being. Maybe this morning you need to come by yourself and you just need to hear this. You need to be reminded that God loves you. Maybe you want to come with your spouse. Maybe you want to come up here with your spouse and receive this together as your spouse. Maybe you want to come up with a friend and receive this together. Maybe you want to come up with a group. That's fine. Whoever you need to receive this prayer prayed over you this morning, I would like you to come that way. I'm going to have my people come up who are ready to pray.